My name is Audrey. I'm a principal consultant in the Seattle area and a Microsoft Certified Office Specialist for SharePoint 2013. Today is part five, the final part of our five-part series on the 101 of SharePoint apps. It has been a lot of fun talking about apps with you and showing you different perspectives on how you can use them in your own environment. I do want to point out that today continues to be a 101 version of this series. However, towards the end of this video, I'm going to be talking a little bit to the operations teams that might have to manage SharePoint apps on premises as well. So I want to give you a little heads up and a few things that will help you maximize this solution. So I want to start by kind of summarizing what we've done so far. So we've talked about several different types of apps. And as we did that, we kind of looked at a few of them along the way. For instance, when it comes to the apps that are built into SharePoint, and these are a lot of our list templates and library templates that you are familiar with, but they're new ones like the promoted links. And a lot of those that you may not have seen or noticed before as list templates, now they're right straightforward in front of you for as apps. And you should get quite a lot of benefit from trying out the intrinsic apps that are built into SharePoint. And I know that you'll love using them. Check out part two of this series and look at how we were able to use promoted links in a variety of ways. Another thing that we also talked about is store apps and organizational apps. So apps that are in your organizational app catalog are being delivered to you by your own enterprise, by your own business. And these are apps you really should take advantage of because these are apps that your organization has been able to use and they've directed the development of those apps to what you do every day, to your industry, to your objectives, to your strategy. So I encourage everyone to really take advantage of their internal organizational apps. And you can always find those when you go add an app. That will always be found in the middle section between your site apps and the store apps. Store apps are also a really great thing to kind of investigate because there's a lot of free apps out there on the market that would do things that would take much longer to do on your own. And so you can go browse the store apps and kind of keep track of what's been released. We did a little bit of that together. I think you should continue to check out some of those apps because they have nice integration points with SharePoint. I particularly like DigiSign, which enables you to incorporate some of the digital document signatures online. And also another one that we talked about together was the AdLib, which is actually for creating PDFs from SharePoint. So really cool apps in the store. Check them out. Try them out. Thirdly, we talked about apps that are based on apps, Access Web Apps. Access Web Apps is a product that is designed to enable you to design applications in Access and publish those applications out to the cloud. And we're using Access with a real SQL database back in on-premise and Azure SQL in the cloud. So you've got all the benefits of a real database when you publish Access apps to the cloud. And this is wonderful because you can connect your Excel to it, you can connect your dashboards to it, and really develop some really cool solutions with a low level of labor effort and development costs. There are also some apps already in the store that were designed and built in Access Web Apps, like the Business Contact Tracker that we looked at together in part three, I believe. So it's a lot of fun to kind of see how we've taken an Office application Access and we've put it on in a whole new category to enable the average end user to deploy applications to their SharePoint sites in minutes with built-in templates and different things like that to help you get started. And then they even enable you to change the applications, whether you pick up a free application from the store that was built in Access Web Apps, or whether you build your own, you can modify these apps and make them what you really need them to be. And what's better than that, than to have the freedom to get exactly what you want out of an app? Now, I do want to point out some constraints. As you move forward into the app world, there are some things you want to keep in mind. Now, one thing you might remember that I taught you, what you see here is this app URL that occurs when you're using immersive apps. As soon as you see that URL, I want you to be aware that your data may be stored differently than you're used to. What I mean by that is you might be noticing that your app, I'm just looking at this slide very closely, your app looks like it's in a SharePoint list on your site because you're opening it up and you're clicking on it right there in your SharePoint site. But be alert that the data can often be stored within a hosted app, a provider-hosted app environment, or an Azure-hosted app environment. So that means that if you delete that app, guess what? You'll also delete the data that's stored in it. So be careful to pay attention to whether your data is being stored in SharePoint, and you can tell that by following the instructions on the app or by just looking up at the URL to see whether you're in an app environment, an app web environment, or whether you're in your SharePoint environment. You need to pay attention so you don't make a mistake and delete the data that you want to keep after you remove an app. You can always restore an app when you delete it, but you can't actually separate the data from the app easily. So just be aware of that. Now, another thing I want to point out when it comes to the constraints of an app, certain apps can only be installed by tenant admins, and that's because they have some type of relationship that can involve other site collections. Maybe it's reading search data, or maybe it's reading, it's querying other environments. And so you can only add an app within the site collection permissions unless you're a tenant admin. So just be aware that some apps will tell you, I'm sorry, you can't add me because you need to be a tenant admin. And in line with that, recognize that any app that you can add if you are not a tenant admin can never read or write data to any other site collection except for the one where you added it. So these are good things to remember when you're adding apps. I also want you to understand workflow constraints. Again, what can be deceptive sometimes is that you're looking at a list in your app and you're assuming that that list is on SharePoint. Don't make assumptions is what I want to give you as a tip. Really pay attention to the ribbons above the list that you have in your app and check, because sometimes certain functionality will be grayed out. That's because within the app, because the data is being stored in the app, you may not have access to all the features that you are accustomed to using in SharePoint, such as SharePoint Designer Workflow, or even out-of-the-box approval or collect feedback workflows may not be available to you when data is stored within an app. So you want to pay attention to that. If you plan to incorporate workflow in your solution, then think about either associating the app with a SharePoint list and or finding a solution where the application itself, the SharePoint app itself, allows you to configure a certain degree of workflow or sharing. So just be aware, certain ribbon items can be grayed out, and you cannot assume just because it looks like a list that it's your standard SharePoint list. It's still in a hosted app web environment, and so it may not have the same feature set. Another thing you want to think about is keeping aware when you're getting apps from the store. Microsoft does take very good care to monitor apps coming into its store. They are evaluated that they meet the requirements of Microsoft Store apps, and they are validated to make sure that they work as they claim to work. However, as you start to add apps to your environment, you'll notice that you'll love some more than others. And one of the biggest complaints that I get when it comes to app quality is that developers will often, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say often, sometimes what they will do is neglect their app website and or reduce their support mechanisms. So when you add an app, you'll always notice in the App Store that there is an app website associated with every store app. Before you add the app, take a minute and click on that web app website link and check out their website. Make sure it looks like it's something that's current. Make sure it looks understandable, because when you start using that app, you may need support. You may need to understand how to get a workaround if something's not working. And if you have no resource to depend on, you might be out of luck. So it's important to be aware that some apps are really, really good at keeping up their app websites and providing a strong level of support, and other apps aren't as good at that. And so what we ask you to do is to rate apps. Really take the time, just like you do on your phone, rate the apps that you get from the Microsoft Store. And what this will do is it's twofold. It's going to help your peers and other people around you to recognize the really good apps, and it's going to encourage developers to really put a little extra effort into providing a good app website and appropriate support mechanisms for the general public. So by rating apps, you're helping Microsoft and you're helping people around you that are also using those technologies. Another thing I want to point out, and this is where we kind of get into the operational aspect of on-premise apps. No matter whether you're on-premise or in the cloud, as an end user, I encourage you to always use your organizational apps. At the very least, my homework to you at the end of the series is to go and investigate what apps you have in your corporate app store. Now, after you investigate what apps there are in your corporate app store, I want you to remember that those apps are controlled by your organization. So the support mechanisms behind that those apps will not come from like in the same way as the store apps. That will actually come internally usually. And internal apps should actually indicate how they support themselves. For those of you that are responsible for managing app catalogs, say on-premise, I do recommend that you enforce the same standards as the Microsoft Store does when you add applications to your app catalog. And let me just kind of show you what I mean by that. So here is like an image on the left side here of what you see when you click on, you know, the details of an app, both in the store and in the Microsoft corporate catalog, by the way. When you look at this, I want you to notice that there are standards that are being met here. Standard number one, we have a unique icon for each app. This is a much better message, and it transmits to people a much stronger trust model than, say, an X in an app. We encouraged our developers to use a compelling app icon that helps them to stand out amongst the apps in the app store or in the corporate catalog, and so that people can know that app is branded and well supported. It's not a novice level app. Also, you want to recognize that you have your version or release date. And I think this is really important, even in a corporate app store. How old is this app? Is it being updated frequently, or is it kind of a done deal? Because if there's a frequent update, it's a possibility that you can reach out to the contacts for this app and ask for enhancements and updates. Because it is an internal app, you can help and improve those apps. Also, notice that you also see that help page or that website I was talking about. So in a store app, you would find a website maybe that's out, you know, on the internet in general. Your corporate apps, you might encourage people to use internal pages in your intranet. But in any case, whether they be intranet pages or whether they be cloud-based pages or whether they be internet pages, make sure that your app developers are providing a place where people can get information right from clicking on the app details. And this is really important to your support model to ensure that you don't get overwhelmed with a lot of support requests related to apps that your support teams may not be aware of. Another thing that we really encourage, and it's a requirement in the Microsoft Store, is to have at least 2 screenshots. Let me kind of look at what this app is going to look like on SharePoint before I install it on my SharePoint site. And I think this is kind of like a no-brainer, but people will often be very neglectful in providing a good number of screenshots. I like this particular one because it has five. It has five screenshots. It gives me a chance to look at how this app will look in all of its different feature offerings. Also, you have on the bottom, you have all the details. What does this app do? What's the business value of this app? Why should I be concerned about this app? And the answers the question, what problem does this app solve? Really important in helping people make the right decisions, because we don't want people wasting time adding apps. They're not going to do what they expect it to do. And although we underestimate the power of language, an app is always easier to use in your native language. So always include what language that app is supported in. So if you think about these as requirements, in the Microsoft Store, basically, you're not going to be able to include a store app without these. On premise, however, it's possible to neglect these components. So I encourage those of you that are responsible for on-premises app catalogs that you attempt to enforce these requirements. This will enable you to migrate later to the cloud, to participate in hybrid solutions, and to catalog your apps and classify them in ways as they grow that people will be able to really leverage. I want to point out here on this corner of my slide here, internal to Microsoft, a little secret about Microsoft itself, they've actually got their corp catalog so well indexed and organized that it even has a tag on it that says whether it's fully supported, which means that there's a support tier available during working hours to get to, whether it's independently supported, maybe it's a third party that's supporting it, maybe that third party is available at limited hours, or whether it's restricted, which means it can only be used by a particular security group in the Active Directory or in the forefront. So it's important to understand that Microsoft just actually internally went that next step. Not only are they categorizing and making sure that their apps are matching Microsoft Store quality requirements, they're also helping internally for their staff to understand how those apps are supported. So I am really impressed with what I see internally at Microsoft in this area. And I encourage all of you who are responsible for apps to keep these things in mind as you release apps to your environment. There's a lot to think about when it comes to apps, really. And I want to encourage you to jump out into those waters and to really explore them. There is a lot to learn. I've got on this slide a few things, a few links that you can capture, kind of put the video on pause. Capture some of these links. There's some free posters. There's a lot of information online. I want to let you know that the next series, I will be back to you again next month. We're going to be doing a series on the power user tips for Office 365. And that's where I'm going to get to show you that I'm not just SharePoint. I actually love the whole Office stack. But we're going to talk a lot about how SharePoint is enhanced in Office 365. Certain features that you get working on O365 that you'll get nowhere else, including on-premises. So I hope you'll look forward to seeing my next series. It will be also a five-part series, Power User Tips for Office 365, and I know you'll love it. It's been great talking about apps with you, and I know that within one of these five series of videos, you found just the right app approach for your organization. Thank you, and have a very wonderful SharePoint experience.